Thank you for listening to Crossroads Community Church of Jefferson Hills. At Crossroads, our mission is to be the church by sharing and showing the love of Christ and inviting others to be recipients of Christ's love. Now, here is this week's message from Pastor Floyd Hughes.
It is good to be back in our second home. That's what we feel like. This is our second home, our home away from home. Always good to fill in when Floyd's away. Gives me a great honor to be able to be here. Let's just open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts this morning. Let the words of my mouth be words that you have, Lord, for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Floyd told me that you guys were talking about persecution a little bit last week. And so we're going to kind of continue on that kind of thought today. When we think of persecution, we usually think about countries like China, North Korea, countries in the Middle East. We think of those kind of countries that have the bad persecution going on in the world. But have you ever thought about the United States as being a country that is being persecuted? Right now, the church is under attack by a lot of different angles here in the United States. And we are getting into that persecution, not as severe as what is taking place in other parts of the country or other parts of the world, but it could be severe here if we continue on the path that we're going. We are living in an unholy world, aren't we? But how do we live godly in this unholy world? That's what I want to talk about for just a few minutes this morning. I'm not going to keep you very long. We're just going to go through this and look at what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul was writing to the young preacher Timothy. He was Timothy's mentor, and he's writing to him, telling him what's going on. In the first part of chapter 3, it begins with an announcement of the terrible times in the last days, what people are going to be doing and what they're going to be facing in the last days. It says the people will be lovers of themselves, and that they'll be boastful, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, out of control. That doesn't sound like anybody that we know, does it? Doesn't sound like the world that we're living in right now. Well, maybe it does. But this is all what's going to happen at the end times. And then he gets to verse 10, and he says this: "You, however, have followed my teachings, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecution and suffering that happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, and Lystra, which persecution I endured. Yet from them all of the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all that desires to live a good godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for the salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is breathed out of by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Paul is charging Timothy, and he's charging us today, that there are some things that are going on. And one of the things is he's telling Timothy to live a godly life. He says, live a godly life. Verse 10 says, you, however, have followed my teachings, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecution and suffering that had happened to me. Paul is saying, Timothy, you know a lot about me. There's a lot of things that I have done. There's a lot of things that have gone on in my life. But you know about me. You've been there through it. You've watched me. You've seen how patient I have been. You've seen how loving I have been. And it's only because of God that I can be that way. And he says, after you do all these things, he says, I want you to follow me. I want you to do this. I want to be your example. I want to mentor you. All of us have areas of our lives where few people get to see. We all have those little areas that we only show to a select few people, to our loved ones, our close loved ones, maybe our close friend, that we just don't show to the world. And Paul said, Timothy, you've seen that. You've seen the good of me and you've seen the bad of me. He says, but the good prevails. There are doors that we won't open to everyone. And there are doors that are painful that we wish we would never have to open. And Paul was saying this to Timothy, that going through life, you're going to have these kind of things. Through life, you're going to have painful situations. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have people that are going to just eat at you. But look at my example. Look how I was. Look how patient I have been with people. Now, Paul wasn't always that patient, was he? As we know, Paul was Saul before he became Paul, and he was a persecutor of Christians. And now he is being persecuted for his faith. He understood what it meant to be the one on the persecuting side, and he also knew what it meant to be the one who is being persecuted. He understood that, and he was warning Timothy, it's coming. He says it's going to happen. So he wanted Timothy to know, and he wants us to know, that through all of that, God rescued him. God rescued him. And God will rescue us through any trial that comes our way. Anything that tries to hinder us from doing what God has wanted us to do or what God wants us to do, God will rescue us through it. He will be there and go through it. Do you have someone in your life that knows everything about you? Do you have someone in your life that knows all of those dirty little secrets that you don't want anybody else to know? It's good to have somebody like that. And if you don't have someone like that and you're a believer, you have Jesus. And Jesus will listen to all of that. He knows all of it. He knows all about it. And Paul wanted Timothy to know that there are going to be difficult times. And as we follow Jesus, there will be persecution. Matter of fact, in verse 12, he said, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's not something that is suggested to us. If you are trying to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. Now, persecution in our country isn't as bad right now as it is in other countries. But there are parts of our country where it is pretty bad. Out in California right now, it's illegal to go to church inside. It's illegal to have services inside the building. And there are pastors who are being fined up to $5,000 to $10,000 a Sunday or a service for having services inside their church. It's happening. You can go to the bar, you can go to the casinos, but you can't go to church. That's what they're saying. So Christianity and our faith is being attacked here in this country. And we need to be ready to have an answer for that. So what does it mean to be godly? What does it mean to live a godly life? Is it a magical person who is perfect and has no faults and is so good that, you know, you can't stand to be around him? Is that what it means to be godly? That's what some people think. Some people think that they dub it down so far that it just means to be a good person. I'm godly because I'm a good person. There are two extremes that people usually go to, and those are the two. Either it's too hard to even comprehend, it's too hard to even be a part of, that you can't be there because there is no one that is perfect. So why try to be perfect, right? Why try to live for that perfect strive? The Bible tells us that God is holy and that we are to be holy as he is holy. How can we do that? How can we be holy like God? Our holiness and our righteousness is only because of Jesus Christ. We can only be holy because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. We can only be holy because of what he did when he hung on the cross for you and for me. That is the only way that we can have holiness and have righteousness. It hinges on what he has done for us. The holiness of God requires judgment. And the Bible says in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. God will not be mocked. We will have to stand before him in judgment one day. But you know, the good thing is, when we become a Christian, when we become a Christ follower, our sins are washed away. All of the past that we have, all of the things that we have done, when we repent and we ask Jesus into our lives, the Bible tells us that he takes those sins and he throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. And that he never again brings them up. He never again will throw them in our face. He is the only one that has the authority to put a no fishing sign on the sea of forgetfulness. We cannot go back there. But we live in that, don't we? A lot of us will just kind of keep bringing up the past. Well, if I would have just been so good when I was that age, or if I would have done this differently, or if I would have done this. My mom always said you can't live on the if I's. We can't live on what ifs. We have to live in the here and now. And the Bible tells me that we can be godly. The Bible tells me that we can walk like Jesus walks. The Bible tells me that we can be what he wants us to be because we can have his grace in us. His grace is what makes us go forward. His grace is what gives us the ability to be godly. Jesus inside of us, that's what makes the difference. That's how we know we can live a godly life. We can't do it on our own. We can never live a godly life on our own, ever. It takes Jesus living inside of us. It takes Jesus walking with us. It takes us wanting to serve him more than serve ourselves. It takes us wanting to be dedicated and surrendered to him and not surrendered to this world. We live in a time where we love this world more than we love God. Even in the church, people love this world more than they love God. They love the idea of God. They love the idea of heaven, but they don't want to be surrendered. They don't want to be committed. They don't want to be dedicated to Jesus Christ. But Jesus says we can be holy. Our holiness is a matter of Him living in us. We can live a godly life only through the blood of Jesus Christ. Good people aren't going to make it to heaven. I don't care how good you are. If you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you will not make it to heaven. That is a promise of God. The Bible tells us that only through Jesus Christ will we enter into the kingdom of God. Only through His blood will we be able to stand before God clean and blameless and spotless. Without Jesus, we're no good. We're not holy. We're not righteous. We're not saved from our sins without Jesus. Paul tells Timothy, you know me. The things that have happened to me are because I lived a godly life as defined by Jesus Christ. Not defined by the world, but it's defined by Christ. Paul understood that because of the world hated Jesus, the world was going to hate him. Matter of fact, Jesus said that in John 15. He said, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were in the world, the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Listen to that. Jesus chose us out of the world. We are not part of this world, folks. This is not our home. When we become a Christ follower and we give our lives to Jesus, we have a new citizenship. Our address has changed. We are temporarily here on this earth. We are temporarily here living this life, but our address has changed. Our address is now 101 Glory Lane, and we're going to have a house in heaven. And not just a house, but the Bible tells us we are going to have a mansion in heaven. We are going to be rich beyond our wildest dreams. Not the riches that we can think of or that we have here on earth, but we are going to have the blessedness of Jesus Christ. We are going to be rich in His presence because we are chosen by God. If the world hates you, it's because it hated Jesus Christ first. And the world hates Jesus, doesn't it? You can turn on any news station right now and you can see how they hate Jesus. You can see how they hate the idea of religion, the idea of Christianity. It's everywhere. Paul was reinforcing Jesus' words here when he told Timothy to expect persecution. We should expect persecution. We are going to be mocked. We are going to be put aside. There are some people, even in America, that when they become a Christian, that their families turn their backs on them. You lose friends. You may lose a job. You may lose a lot of other things because of your faith. But that's okay. Because the Bible tells us that God is greater than this world. He says to John, or Jesus says later on in there, don't worry about the world because I've overcome the world. We have victory through Jesus Christ. You see, I read the back of the book. And in the back of the book, we win. No matter how bad things get, no matter how many trials we have, no matter how much persecution we go through, no matter how difficult it is to live right now, even with COVID, we can still know that we have the victory in Jesus Christ. We win at the end. And we are moving. Each and every one in this room will have a moving day. And we will move up to our homes and our new address in heaven. Isn't that good news this morning? Aren't you looking forward to that this morning? And he's telling Timothy, don't worry about it. You will be persecuted, but guess what? We will win. We will win. And then he tells Timothy, one way to get through this, one way to keep things going and to be strong is to allow Scripture to shape your life. You see, a lot of people, they take this Bible that we read and they take it home after Sunday morning service and they put it on the shelf and it gets dusty until next Sunday. They never crack it open. They never read what the Bible has to say. They never read what God is trying to tell them from Sunday to Sunday. They just hear the pastor on Sunday morning and they forget about the Bible the rest of the week. We are to take the Word of God and we are to meditate on the Word of God. We are to look at it. We are to read it. We are to go through it day by day because it is breathed by God. It's not just a book of fairy tales. It's not just a book of stories. It's not just a book of teaching that we don't have any idea how to accomplish. It is a living, breathed word of God. He gave it to the men that wrote it, and he gave them each word to put into it. He gave them each period, each comma that is in this book, he gave them. It is a book that is from God. God, through the Holy Spirit, breathed each and every word of this Bible into existence. And because God breathed life into the Bible, there is power in the words of God. There is power in the Bible. There's power in the Scripture. And we can stand on the promises of God. We can stand on the promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. We can stand on the promise that we don't have to fear because he is there. You all know my story that I suffer from anxiety and I suffer from it quite often. And those times are very fearful. Those times are very dark for me. But when I get out the Word of God and I start quoting some of the scriptures that I have underlined about fear, I can feel the comfort of God coming into my life. And when I have people praying for me and knowing that they are praying over me, that fear goes away. I can stand on the promise that God is going to protect me, that God is going to take me through the valley that I'm walking through. I can stand on the promises that he is coming back again and he's going to take us to a place that is out of this world. I can stand on the promise that when he comes back, that we will be coming back with him and we will reign with him for 1,000 years here on this earth. I can stand on the promise that my sins are washed white as snow. I can stand on the promise that he doesn't think about my sins any longer when I confess them. There's power in the Word of God this morning. Too many people shape their lives from the news on TV. We live in fear. We live in confinement instead of living in the power of the Word of Jesus Christ. We shape our lives on people's, what they think of us, people's impressions of us. We shape our lives on money. We shape our lives on a whole lot of things when we need to be shaping our lives on the Word of God. We need to be looking at the Word of God and going, God, I want to be more like you. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. And the only way we're going to know that is when we get into this book and we start reading it and we start understanding what it says. And we start asking God to help us. That's the only way we are going to understand and allow God to shape us, is by getting into his word. And finally this morning, told you it was going to be short this morning. Finally this morning, not only is the word of God to shape us, but it is to equip us. You see, one of the things that we have lost in 2020 is the ability to talk to others. We are afraid to talk to somebody because we're afraid of that virus. We're afraid to go up to anyone and talk to them because we're afraid of what might happen. We're afraid to talk to them about Jesus because we're afraid maybe they don't believe in Jesus and they may do something to hurt us. But the Bible says that we are equipped and that we are to share our faith with others. You see, it's not just the pastor's job to share the message of Jesus Christ with those around us. It's not just the pastor's job to get involved in the community and to share the gospel with those who don't know it. It is each and every one of our responsibilities to go and to make disciples for Jesus Christ. Notice I didn't say go and convert people for Jesus Christ. We can't convert anyone. We can't do any of that. That is all up to the Holy Spirit. All we can do is plant a seed. We can plant a seed and know that our message of love and our message of encouragement and our message of hope is shared with those around us, no matter how bad the situation is. God has equipped each and every one of us. If we're willing to take the challenge, if we're willing to stand before him, if we're willing to go with him, Scripture leads us to the strength. Scripture leads us to the power. Scripture protects us from persecution, destroying our hope. You see, when we're persecuted, and I hear this all the time working with the persecuted church, most of them can't have Bibles. It's illegal to have it. But they've hidden the word of God in their hearts. They've hidden the word of God within them, and they start quoting scripture, and it gets them through the persecution. This morning, God wants you to know that you can live a godly life. God wants you to know that you need to shape your life around his word. And God wants you to know that he is giving you everything that you need to go out and share his love with those around us. Are you willing to take that challenge this morning? Are you willing to go that extra mile this morning? When we realize that persecution actually strengthens us, when we realize that the trials and the difficulties and the suffering that we go through actually gives us a boost in our faith, then we can see the victory that Jesus has for us. Then we can live a life that is filled with peace. We can live a life that is filled with godliness. When we understand that Jesus is there. Think about this. Nothing happens to us, good or bad. Nothing happens to us before it goes through the fingertips of God. God knows everything that's going to happen to us. And God loves us so much that He allows us to sometimes go through those difficult times so that we can see the perspective that we need to see. God loves us so much this morning, folks. It's hard to put into words. It's hard to describe the love of God. How rich and pure. How measureless and strong. God's love is the only place we will find peace. We can't find it in this world. We can't find it on the TV. We can't find it in our partners. We can't find it in our family. The only place we are going to find peace, the only place we are going to find hope, is in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only place that hope exists, is through the love of God. Do you love Him this morning? Are you ready to fight for Him this morning? Are you ready to go to battle and stand strong, knowing that the victory has already been won because He's done it for us? Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Son. Thank You for the victory that You have given us. Lord, I just ask that You would just take this message and use it for Your good. Use it for Your glory. We love You, Lord. And we want to be the men and the women that You want us to be. So we give our lives to You this morning. And we say, take us and use us. Make us what You want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you did, please leave a comment on our webpage, crossroadsofjeffersonhills.com, or our Facebook page. You can also join our Sunday celebration every Sunday at 10:37 a.m. We look forward to hearing from you online or in person. Thank you, and God bless.